Wednesday, Beis Sivan Tov Shin Ayin Hey, Lady Shir Chavis Halvavus, Shara Vodus Elokim. It's May 20th. I've lost Cheshbon of which Shiurim, and therefore we're just going to give the dates and hope for the best. Shara Vodus Elokim, Wednesday, Lady Shir, Beis Sivan Tov Shin Ayin Hey, May 20th. Okay, we're learning Chavos Halvavos, Shara Avodas Elokim. We're in Perek Dalet. Chavos Halvavos introduces us really to a very, I think, unique concept. And that is as follows. Interestingly enough, we learned a lot about Ha'ara Toronis and Ha'ara Sichlis. So, Ha'ara Toronis, he really described as being very ritual-oriented. That's what it means, the rules in the Torah. And he explained why the Torah, why Hashem really did that, and what the benefits of that, the benefits of Ha'ara Sichlis. The goal is Ha'ara Sichlis, that you're totally engaged in the concepts of the mitzvah. Call it the spirit of the law. Maybe Ha'ara Sichlis is the spirit of the law. And there's relatively few hagbolos, gevulim, hagbolot, in Ha'ara Sichlis, but the main thing is, we have Ha'ara Toronis. Now, in Perek Dalet, he focuses on Ha'ara Toronis. But in Ha'ara Toronis also, he introduces a new concept. What's that? He says, listen, you know, Ha'ara Toronis is split up. If I were to tell you, like, the rules of the Torah. So you say, well, there's Aseh and there's Los Aseh. And the Chavos Halvavos starts off saying also that way, because he says there's three categories. There's Aseh, obligations, Los Aseh, things you're not allowed to do. And then he says there's what he calls Mutter, or what we would call Rishus. Something that's not obligatory, but it's not prohibited. It's Rishus, it seems to be religiously neutral, de-spiritualized zone, that's what we would think. So then, but then he analyzes it further, and we learned this last week. He says, when you talk about something that's Rishus, or Mutter as he calls it, whatever it is in life, whether you're eating kosher food, you know, but you're eating, and you're sleeping, and you're talking, and you're going about your business, and you're taking care of things. And for whatever reason, it's not included in the mitzvah saseh, and it's not included in the mitzvah lo saseh. Now, there are many things that might not be included in the mitzvah saseh, but they're obligatory. You know, this may come as a shock to some of you, but a husband is mechuyev to support his wife, and it comes as a shock to me. I'm a yeshiva guy. But I wouldn't call it a mitzvah saseh, but it's certainly obligatory. So well, that's called a mitzvah saseh. I mean, if anything, that's an obligation. For a woman to do what she has to in the house might not be technically a mitzvah saseh. I'm not sure what to call it. Maybe it is, you know, but she's doing her obligations. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about anything obligatory or anything prohibited. We're talking about something mutter. I want to go on a vacation. I want to go on a walk. I want to go shopping, and I don't especially have to. I want to, you know, anything that really, perhaps most of our day is spent in Divrei Rishus, perhaps. So the Chavos Halvavos says there's three ways you could be doing things that are Rishus. You could be doing what you need, things that are necessary. Necessary to live, necessary to... live doesn't just have to mean that the alternative is to die. Living could mean, you know, a normal way that doesn't, normal. He calls it day sipu, whatever is necessary. And echanami, the term necessary can be broadened, can have a broad definition, can have a narrow definition. Different people are different. To some people, things are necessary, and to some people, they're not necessary. Some people must have a car, and it's not just that they must have maestros. they really need a car. So to them it's necessary. Some people need air conditioning. Some people need a playroom in the house. Of course, otherwise they can't, you know, they can't manage. Can't get by. So that, obviously, you have to determine what is necessary, and then there's too much, and then there's too little. That's what he says. It has to be one of those three things. And then he describes too much as being bad. He says, because you get used to giving in to your, we're talking about physical things, physical pleasures, physical hanos. He says, what happens is you get, it might be mutter, but you're giving in to your will, and you're going to keep on having to do more and more to keep yourself satisfied. And at the end of the day, you're going to cross the line and do something else. If you're doing too much, and you're not being magbil yourself with self-control, and you're just giving in to it, you say, it's mutter. And there are definitely people that say this. There are communities of people that say this. But it's mutter. So at the end of the day, you're giving in. And at the end of the day, when it comes into a conflict, then there's something also. So at first you wouldn't do it. Maybe you'll recoil. But then it's not so also. Maybe it's a questionable hechsher. It still has a hechsher. You know, it's just a questionable one. It's probably okay. And that's what Chazal describes. You're asking for trouble if you take too much from the world. So if you go over the gvul, can't say it's also, but it's a bad thing. Then too little, he says, depends. If your intention is l'shem shemayim, because you want to practice self-control, you want to exercise your self-control muscle, as I call it, you feel it's necessary because when you're in a certain situation, you end up talking Lashon Hara, or you end up doing something, so you make a gevul, you make a shmira. Like Rabbanan made a shmira, they made the Rabbanan. So you want to make your own personal shmira, and this is really what Maseches Nedarim is about. And if you do it L'Shem Shemayim, it's good. You do it because you know that for the next 2 weeks, you're not going to eat this particular food that you enjoy, you know, because you know that you have to, as I say, exercise your self-control muscle. You're not going to talk to that person because it'll probably end up with Lashon Hara. Okay. But if you do it Shalom L'Shem Shemayim, this is maybe a Chiddush, it's terrible, he says. What you're really doing is you're a phony. You're really taking from Olam Hazeh. It's just that value is more than the other value. Meaning, let's say you want kavod because you fast a lot. You fast. So you're not refraining from Olam Hazeh. You're just substituting the Olam Hazeh of kavod. It's worth more to you than the Olam Hazeh of eating. Or the Olam Hazeh of being pretty. It's worth more to you than the Olam Hazeh of eating, or whatever the case may be. A person says, I'm going to be porush from my children, I'm wasting too much time with them, you know, and then you become withdrawn from the family, and then, you know, and that's not good for the family. So you're really just substituting, selfishness. So again, too much, bad, spiritually bad. Too little, it depends if you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim or not L'Shem Shemayim. And day sipuk is, like by Goldilocks and the Three Bears, is just right. Then he says, you know something? He basically almost says that. It turns out there's really no such thing as divrei reshus. My original category of three things was not true. Or it's more subtle, it's sophisticated. Because it's either a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. If it's day sipuk, it's obviously a good thing to do. If it's too much, it's a bad thing to do. If it's too little, then it depends. If you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, it's a good thing to do. If you're not doing it L'Shem Shemayim, it's a bad thing to do. So there really is no de-spiritualized zone. Hashem, and it really is logical, because Hashem governs our entire life and everything we do. And it may feel like, wait a second, this person has to live with a constant pressure. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it doesn't have to be pressure, because you can train yourself to do certain things, but this is what he's saying. He's saying, wait a second, if I want to take a walk, I have to ask myself why I want to take a walk. Ideally, yes. You know, if you're taking a walk to relax because you feel you have to calm your nerves, that's a good thing. If you're taking a walk because you are lazy and you don't want to do what you have to do and you just want to while away the time, that's a bad thing, right? So everything depends. You know, you want to take a vacation. Yes, a Jew following the Chavis HaLavavos is supposed to be asking themselves, why do I want this vacation for? To enjoy myself? Well, why do I want to enjoy myself? That's not such a good thing. That's not the purpose of my being in the world. Say, okay, I want to be seeing the flow of Sabori. Okay, if that's true, it's true. I have to get away with my husband or with my wife. Okay, that's a good reason. Everything, it sounds very a pressure-filled life, but I think it's just logical. It's part of Hashem Echad. Baruch Hashem, we're Jewish and we're from and we're aware of Hashem, and Hashem is all-encompassing, so everything I do, I have to... The Chiddush was in his Havamina, you know. He thought this a despiritualized zone, where if it's not a mitzvah, and it's not an Avera, so it's neutral. You can do it, not do it, who cares? Now he's saying no. After he analyzes it, he's saying there's no such thing. You're either doing something, you're either stepping towards Hashem, or you're stepping away from Hashem. There's mamish no such thing. And that if you're doing just Dei Sipukam, I'm going about my business, I'm doing what I have to do to live, to raise a family, to have parnasa, to take care of my children, that's all good. That's not neutral. That's good. That's Dei Sipukam. Too much, too little. So that's what he says. So we're going to start from the words of Kfar Hesbor B'Mashal Zacharnu, Shekol Ma'asei Adam, everything you do, and this is all within Ha'ara Toronis. This is not spirit of the law, letter of the law. This is saying there's no neutral area. There's no Ha'ara Sichlis means making the spirit of the law into a letter of the law. I'm walking in the street and it's not Pesach and it's not Zman Kriya Shema, and I'm thinking how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and how lucky I am that I have eyes that could see. And look at that blind person. That blind person can't see. And I thank you, Hashem. That's Ha'ara Sichlis. I'm going beyond mitzvahs. Here he's talking about there's mitzvahs, there's averus, and then there's l'chora neutral ground. I'm going out to eat, and the food's kosher, a good hechsher even. So l'chora, that's neutral. He says it's not neutral. You have to think about why you're eating, why you're going out to eat, you know. What's your reason? If the reason is, you know, I deserve a break today, I'm afraid the Chavis HaLavavos, so the man, you know, sometimes you deserve a break and it's true, and you refresh your kochot. It is. It doesn't have to be you can't escape this. Like I say, this is the reality. You know, you could say that I can't live like that. Well, maybe you can't, and it takes time. But this is ultimately and ideally the way a person should live because it's true. It's not, you can't run away from this. The Chavis HaLavavos' description of life is the description of reality. Everything does either bring you closer to Hashem or pulls you away from Hashem. I'm explaining that philosophically it makes perfect sense. Because if I would say, the way he seemed to say before he developed the idea, that there's a de-spiritualized zone, things that are neutral, you know what that's like saying? It means there's an area where there's no Hashem. That's what it's like. That's the deep philosophical implications of saying Hashem couldn't care less if I take a walk or not. It's neither good nor bad. That's my decision. That's not, philosophically it makes no sense. It means this makom is ponui from Hashem. There's no Hashem here. But that's not true. Hashem is everything, Hashem, every breath I take, every step I take, and therefore I have to ask, is Hashem okay with this? So it might not be a mitzvah, it might not be an avera. Now, the question is, how can you live like that? It's not easy, you know, nobody's expecting anybody to walk out of here and, you know, start. If you walk out of here and you start doing it, you'll get an immediate headache, you know, it'll feel like a pressure. You start doing it once a day, twice a day. And you do that for months. This is a very slow process, but we're talking conceptually. And this is his yesod. It's a very major yesod. The Tanya says the same thing, actually, that there's no such thing as spiritually neutral ground. Everything is either you're with Hashem or you're backing off from Hashem. So he says, "V'nei k'vizbor b'meshes acharnu shekol ma'asei odom." Anything you do, enem yoytze mitzvah v'asorah v'day sipuk. Nothing is outside of the realm of either a technical obligation, a technical prohibition, or things that I do to survive. And then it can be too much or too little. Ki kol ma'asei migeder day hasipuk. If I go out of the ground of doing what's necessary for me to live and survive and be normal and not be tense. Again, different people have different things that they, quote, need. Different people have different needs. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need a car, or I need two cars, or I need an air conditioner. Right? Now, you have to be honest, you have to be introspective. Someone could say, I need... when our children say to us, "But I need," so that's and then we laugh because that's a same thing. I need another suit. I need another dress. I need this. I need that. But they're up. You can't pin anyone on this because different people have different needs. You shouldn't look at your neighbor and say, "Whoa." Because they may need that. Everybody has to worry about themselves. Kikol mashiyot migeder de asipuk, anything that's over the line, either too much or too little, olav tosefes, olav achisaron, eino nimlat, cannot escape, mehasig betzivui, emiel l'shem shemayim. It becomes a good deed if he does it for the right reasons. O ba'azhara emloyiel l'shem shemayim. If it's not l'shem shemayim, if it's because he wants to be popular, he wants to look good, he wants kavod, he wants to be famous. Now, the Chavit HaLovos in this line said something interesting, which I don't know if you notice it. The whole time he's talking that if you do too much, it's bad. Too much is bad, and too little, it depends if you do l'shem shemayim or not. In this sentence, and only here, very strange, he throws in that too much also depends if it's l'shem shemayim or not. If you look at the text carefully, he's talking about too much also. So I'm not asking a kasha, I'm just, if you think about it, you could think of cases, let's say, to go on vacation is called too much, you don't need the vacation, so that's called too much. But if you do l'shem shemayim, then it's a good thing. L'shem Shemayim could be either you needed to relax, you feel you needed to relax, you have to get away. Sometimes that's definitely a need. Sometimes you want to attack a go see the flow sub bow rate. Sometimes you just want to get away from the house, or go away with your spouse. So, it's not conceptually difficult, it's just interesting that whenever he talked about till now and after this sentence, he talks about too much, he says it as a blanket bid, and when he talks about too little, he says it depends. In this sentence, he says both, it depends, which is certainly true. Some food you want to eat, but let's say you want to taste it and you want to thank Hashem for this kind of food. It's conceivable. So then it becomes a good thing. Or you want a Shabbos, maybe you want to go a little overboard with the food, but you're doing it to be Mechabit Shabbos. I'm not sure that's a good example because there it becomes a technical mitzvah saseh. So I don't know if it's a good example. We're looking for things that seems to be spiritually neutral, but they're not because they're either bringing you closer to Hashem or taking you further away. Anyway, v'chashenachra al di hasip v'gladiyam and olam al amozon nimtzeinu mitzuvah bo. Now he says something even more ironic. He says, if we're talking about to earn parnosa and to live and to... He says, I don't know why I should even call that not a technical mitzvah saseh. Right? in other words, he's talking about you're neither obligated nor you prohibited, but it still either brings you closer to Hashem or pulls you away from Hashem. But now he says, you know, when it comes to doing what you need to do to live, then it's an obligation even. It's a regular obligation. It's a technical obligation. Kamo shama bereshis hayitzira v'yivarach hasam alokim v'yom alohem alokim pruvu melus haaretz v'kivshua. You have to survive in this world. You have to do what it takes. When you're talking about living, and maybe this is what consumes most of our lives that are not technically mitzvahs or not mitzvahs, you know, the chase for parnasa. Let's assume, you know, just even to get by. He's saying, you know, I don't even have to be so fancy, I don't have to be so philosophical. It's a regular tzivui. The chibuch who came, okay, kvar hisbara, so I clarify, ki kol maisa b'nei odom, enem yoytzim natsiva v'azhara. That's how he puts it now. He drops the subtlety, and he says everything is either a good deed or not a good deed. Either brings you closer to Hashem or pulls you away further from Hashem. There's no more three categories. He drops it. Now there's only two categories. Ubir zeh, whatever you do, it's good. If he doesn't do it, and it's possible for him to do it, he's doing something bad. He's violating the mitzvah saseh. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. If you refrain from doing a prohibition because of Yiras Hashem, so you get a mitzvah. That's what you get a mitzvah for, not doing an aveira. If you refrain from doing it because Hashem said not to do it, not because you don't have a good opportunity, or not because you're embarrassed, or not because it just never occurs to you to do it, but if you refrain from doing it because of Yiras Hashem, Hashem Rakot of Aflo follow Avlo B'dechov Alof. And if he does these things which he called in the past Divrei HaRishus, he do something that's mutter, that's not a mitzvah or an aveira technically, utzadik. Listen, if he does it al derech shove unechona, he does it because you're supposed to do it, Hashem wants me to do it, I'm living a normal life, Hashem wants me to take care of this and that, so he's a tzaddik. Hashem tov v'shchonin u'mavi chalkel dvar b'mishpat. There's that pasuk again, that a person has to indeed make a cheshbon always. This is, again, it sounds hard, but this is what you have to do. Ideally, I don't know, you have to do it. Ideally, this is what you're supposed to do. V'miyah marbev over there asipuk, if he does too much, u'makatzer. He's ending up being makatzer. You do too much, you're really doing too little. Because by doing too much, you'll inevitably hit the borderline of something aser. He wants to be more of a parush. So who tzadik? Then it's bad. It's not good. You're starving yourself. You're going hungry. You're walking around in not such, you know, nice clothing, let's say. That's a bad thing to do. If you're doing it with Shem Shemayim, it's bad. But he says, so everything we do is in this Tov Ra, scale. Ba'amaskil, before you do something, you have to weigh what you're doing. Do I need to do this? Am I doing this for a good reason? Am I doing it for a selfish reason? Now again, we talked this week that the Chavi Halavah doesn't even seem to give room for doing things shalol lishma. Let me talk shalol lishma b'lishma, because I'll say. So Chavi Halavah doesn't seem to address that at all. He's oblivious to it, he seems. So that's true, he doesn't talk about it. But it's not really austere to what he's saying, because as is explained by many Bali Musar, when you say that a person should do Shalol Lishma, Shemitoch Shalol Lishma, Bo Lishma, it means that that's my ultimate intention. So I'm just using the Shalol Lishma now as a ladder, as a stepping stone. And I understand that you have to reach doing things lishma. because the Chayav Zalav is very harsh with his description of people that do things Shelo Lishma. He calls it Shituf Nistar. He calls it, I'm not worshipping only Hashem. I'm not doing Hashem Echad. I'm worshipping Hashem and my neighbor. I'm worshipping Hashem and myself. I'm worshipping Hashem and the principal. I'm whatever it is. So, whoa, that's such harsh words. But the Gemara says you should do that way because mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Well, the answer is if that's how you're doing it, that's good. But if you're stuck there and that's all it becomes, then that's not good. Then it's like he calls it shituf, you know, nistar. Varaya al birur mashezachano. I'll bring you a pasuk. Me'amaisim atov v'roim, that everything is either tov or ra. Mashomer achacham kios kol ma'aseh elokim yavli b'mishpat al kol nelam al kol ma'aseh. There's a pasuk in Kohelet, so he explains the pasuk that everything a person does elokim yavli b'mishpat, you'll have to give a judgment for it in tovim ra. Vim hichnes hamasim kulam tachas tov ra. Kohelet describes in this pasuk everything a person does on the Torah. So this is a very big Kiddush, but Chavivah Bava says it, and it has a tremendous philosophical ramification besides everything we learned till now, and that is Bechira, right? I always like to say that when you go into a store and you're choosing, let's say, chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream, or you're choosing a pair of shoes, I don't know, this pair of shoes I like, this pair of shoes I don't like. So I say that there's no Bechira there. That's not called Bechira. Hashem, that's Hashem control. And to say Hashem doesn't care what kind of shoes I buy is not true. We may not understand right now why, but right, the Malachim don't understand why Hashem should bother with anything physical, right? It's weird. They didn't want Hashem to give the Torah, right? Because we're all physical people. It didn't make sense to them. So to us, we're just, yeah, of course I belong to the Torah, but Hashem certainly doesn't care who wins the ball game. But now, so I always say, a chocolate or vanilla is not Bechira. But now that we learned this Chavis Halvavos, and if we apply it, then I'm not so sure anymore. Because if he says such a strong sentence that everything is tov v'ra, then the philosophical ramification is that everything is Bechira. Now let's say, I don't know, I'm trying to think, you're going to say chocolate or vanilla. So, I don't know how Chavis Halvavos would be able to say that this is tov v'ra. Obviously, not. Which do I like? What am I in the mood of now? Well, let's say the average person. I like chocolate and I like vanilla. What am I in the mood of? I don't know. Maybe, but I am not sure about what I'm saying. Chavivah seems so across the board after he said his chiddush that everything either brings you closer to Hashem or pushes you away from Hashem. Everything, so then you have to think something like that. Maybe you're not supposed to eat something just because you're in the mood of it. Maybe that's how he would look at it. Maybe that's not a good reason to pick something, because I'm in the mood. That means you're doing it just to satisfy yourself. So, but I want the chocolate ice cream, what do I do? Hold on a second, I have to come up with an eighth so how I can eat the chocolate ice cream. Oh, I'll make a better bracha. Because I like chocolate. I'm not even joking. You could turn it around. In other words, okay, you're motivated by your life, but I'm just trying to think where it fits into this Chavis Halvavos is Chiddush. Something like that. I mean, he seems very sure, I mean, all-encompassing, everything. What do you mean everything? What about that? And I always find that there's no Bechira there. And according to him, there is Bechira. So what's your Bechira? Maybe this is your Bechira you're supposed to make. I'll be in a better mood. I'll come home. I'll be more patient with my children. I don't know. Or maybe I'll be more lazy because I took two scoops. Because I like it. Really, these are the things you have to think about. Or, you know, maybe it's not a good thing. We don't think that way. We grew up, most of us grew up in America, where the ultimate goal is to do what I want. To be free. Right? I'm free. That's not the Jewish way. Certainly not the Chagos HaMolos' way. The ultimate thing, you have to substitute. And really, and you live like that, and you grow up with that as a value, and you go to school, and even, you know, and really, they don't, if even in a frumoila, right, this is how you talk in America. And this is really where a lot of people fail, a lot of communities fail. It's like this. The ultimate goal is to do, I'm free. Liberty. I can do what I want. I'm a free person. Give me liberty, give me death. I'm free to do what I want. Okay, I'm an Orthodox Jew. So I have 248 things I have to watch out to do, and I have 365 things that I can't do. But that's like obstacles. Life is an obstacle course. And there are two kinds of obstacles, 248 assays, and 365 lavim. But the real course is freedom, and that's the goal. Liberty, freedom, these are the words that are always used in newspaper, website, radio, free. And then Mamela, we think that my life is free, except I have to be careful not to be over a lav. But really, life is, most of life, I want it to be spiritually despiritualized. As long as I don't do an Avera, I do what I want. So, and that's where, what do you think all the plethora of Hechsherim come from? Because the consumer market demands everything. So they have to come up with kosher this and kosher that, because we're frum, right? We don't want to be over the lab. We have every, you go into, we'll talk about America, you go into pomegranate or evergreen in Muncie, and you have like every, like Shlomo HaMelech says in Kohelis, l'chol asher sh'ol u'einai lo otzalti mayhem. You have everything you could dream of, and it's all kosher with good hechsherim. And the hechsherim, what happens? The hechsherim market, talk to people who are in the world of kashrus. The hechsher market is driven by consumer demand. The hechsher companies are not tzaddikim. They're good people, but they're not tzaddikim. They feel the pressure that the consumer is demanding, right? So if the company makes a certain product and the chareidah doesn't want to give a hechsher on it because it's too gashmiistic, if they would do that, yeah, so he'll go to a different hechsher, right? And the consumer is always demanding more and more hechsherim. I see it b'chush on Pesach. With the Bedat, say the Haredis used to be so, like part of their hechsherim on Pesach used to be, you do without Pesach. You do without, it's not terrible. Now the walls have started to come down. They used to be super makbid not to give a hechsher on anything with flavoring. Now they give a hechsher on ketchup. Ketchup for Pesach, and I say, but it's kosher. What's the matter? What's wrong? There's no chametz in it. And it's a point, you know. But this is mamish. I'm not condemning anyone. This is mamish our psychology, because we grew up in the Western world, and we, instead of growing up that we're avdei Hashem, and the point of everything we do is to do the ratzon Hashem. We, first of all, a person's battle always is, but certainly a Western, the Western world, the main thing is to do what you want, because you're free. And it's a moral virtue. They don't say that they're Bali Taiva and terrible people. The moral virtue is to do what you want. They dumped religion. Religion is not real. It hasn't been real for 100 years, 200 years. And now the moral virtue is to do what you want. So by the goyim, or not from it, leads to what we see. But even by the fruma, it leads to a hashkafa that looks at this chayvus halvavos and says, like, no way. This says, I'm never free. I always have to think what I'm doing. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? And well, most of life I want to be free, and I have to watch out for 613 obstacles. Life is a road with 613 obstacles. It's an obstacle course. Hashem gave me 613 obstacles that I have to overcome. And that, I mean, I see it in the world of Hachsherim, you see it in certain things, I don't want to say because then people might take it the wrong way, because if I would say going away for Pesach to a hotel, then anybody that ever went away for Pesach to a hotel here thinks I'm condemning it. Sometimes you have to, you know, if it's necessary, it's necessary. But I'm talking about this whole idea of kosher entertainment more and more and more, and kosher this and kosher that. That's certainly the trend is certainly like that. I don't know. I'm not such a bucky in ladies' clothing, Baruch Hashem. But certainly there's a... I'm sure there's a problem out there with... It's neo-stick technically, but it's attractive. You know, I'm not talking about, you know, Stom looking good. I'm talking about attracting attention, you know. Someone would turn his head to look at you. But it's technically, it's neo-stick. So this is really a whole, I think to us it's a foreign mindset, almost. Like everything I do is meaningful, is spiritually meaningful, but it's really a wonderful way to live, because it's saying not that life is spiritually neutral, and I have 613 obstacles, but it says every piece of life is spiritually meaningful. And I'm either walking towards Hashem or I'm walking away from Hashem. And there's nothing neutral. What about if I'm in the store and I'm trying to decide between chocolate and vanilla ice cream? I don't know. I don't know. What am I deciding? I'm deciding what I'm in the mood of. So maybe that's not a good thing. So maybe, then you have to start thinking. Maybe I'll be in a better mood and I'll come home and I'll have more patience for my children. Really, this for sure happens because I'm in a better mood. Or maybe it's good for me to exercise. People do this. I know people that do this. They'll say, I'd rather have the chocolate, and therefore I'm going to buy the vanilla, because I want to exercise my self-control muscle. Yeah. If you can do it, L'shem Shamayim, then yes, the Chavis HaLavis wholeheartedly approves of that. If you can do it, L'shem Shamayim. If you make sure you're not... Yes.
How can you
tell? That's not the Chavis HaLavis' problem. That's our problem. How can you tell? It's a very big Nisayim. We're no gay Abedover. So you either have a good friend or a mentor that you talk things over with. You shouldn't be ashamed. A person cannot do this themselves. Maybe if the 3, 4, 5 years of a very close friend that doesn't think you're nuts, then you could start practicing doing it yourself. But it is very, very difficult. Nobody claimed it was easy. It's very difficult. But that's not a kasha on the principle. That just says, you know, this is like really, really hard. You are absolutely right. But how many people... So maybe Shabbos, we could like sort of, at least we say, you know, during the week, I eat something I like, right? So, okay, I'm going to try to do it L'shem Shemayim. Why L'shem Shemayim? You don't have to eat this to live, to survive. So you say, okay, but it tastes good, and Hashem gave me taste buds. Obviously, He wants things to taste good. But what you're saying, okay, so... But that's a struggle. And Chalami, you can do it, it's a struggle. Shabbos, it's a little less of a struggle. Because we're doing it L'Kavod Shabbos. We say, I'm doing it L'Kavod Shabbos. And there are people, that will put aside a food that they like, and they'll put it aside for Shabbos. They'll do that. So that turns it into a good thing. I think, it's like a major yesod, Chavis HaLavavis. It's a major yesod. It changes your whole life. In a way, it's very rewarding, because it says every piece of my life is spiritually meaningful. Everything I do. And I say it really should be that way. It makes a lot of sense, because it's part of Hashem Echad, because Hashem is everywhere. So everything is Hashem. Everything is spiritual. So it really, really makes a lot of sense. But, and again, the ramification of it is that I have Bechira. That's what's interesting. So if I don't think about these things, So I don't know if it's governed by Bechira, but then it's not a good thing. If I just give in and I do what I want, according to the Chayyus Halvavus, that's not a good thing. He says, if I just keep doing what I want, and everything's kosher and everything's mutter, but I just keep doing it because I want to do it, that's what he would call doing Yoser Bechdei Sipuk. And he says, you're going to end up getting into trouble. He says, I promise you, you're going to end up doing Dvarim Asurim. I promise you. Now here's the question, and it's a philosophical question, and I'm not sure what the answer is. I do something today, I take a second portion of ice cream, because I want it. I don't make believe it's because, I love you Hashem so much. Right? I want it. It's kosher, it's mutter. But according to the Chayyus Halvavus, it's a step in the wrong direction. This one, today, nothing's gonna happen. I think we could assume that. We're really talking about an accumulative effect. Right? Today, but it sounds from the Chayyus Halvavus like, you know, that it's, I'm moving away from Hashem today, even if today's incident really didn't move me away from Hashem, but I'm on a certain road. I'm on the path. I mean, again, I'm an old man already. I see it so clearly, because ever since the 1950s, the prosperity and moisturous have exploded, and everything has responded in kind, whether it's the way we dress, or the way we eat, or the foods with hechsherim, and cars, and vacations, and I'm not talking about any particular individual. Bechlalius, because Hashem has been very kind to us, I guess, and has opened up a shefa that is unprecedented in Jewish history, I would say ever since Churban Bayis Sheni, for sure. Even it's called the Golden Age of Spain. Like, can't hold a candle to the way we live now. Right? It's called the Golden Age of Spain, where they were, you know, they didn't have running water. We have everything. Really. But it's, you see, and I know people know, it's like there's a market, and then you have to end up, they have to go to Japan, because everybody wants every kind of flavor. Like, Chas v'Shalom, you would have a potato chip without spicy, spicy with ridges. You go out of business in 2 weeks. The kids are not... No, so every company, one company comes out with Mexican, whatever it's called, yeah, spicy, then every company has to. The stores have to stock it. Because, or else, you know, because you're going to go to the other store that has more shelf space. The extra companies have to give it. The mashgichim have to go to China. This I know, I have friends in the business. They have to go to China, they have to go to the Philippines, they have to go to Japan, they have to travel to the ends of the world where they don't know the language, and they're busy with emulsifiers and enzymes and flavorings and herbs, and, you know, they struggle to give a good heksher. It's very, very hard. The Chinese are ruthlessly dishonest people. I talked to a mashgiach that goes to China. They're ruthlessly dishonest. They will try to fool, because we know they knocked off all the American products. That's why their economy is so big. But they went in kashrus also. It's like, you really, and there's so many hechsherim now are running to China, because China's producing flavorings. And this. I know I have a good friend that works for the OU. He's like an expert in enzymes. Zain Sof. You know, and even your local makolet now has to stock all these crazy things. Okay, and, you know, for small children it's crazy things, but big people, we have our things. You know, we know better. Go Z-Slick, you know, I don't know, these ice cream stores. The whole, it's a foreign idea to us. It's a foreign idea. It's a foreign idea Tell to someone, the way we live with Western ideals, I call it, that life is for me to do what I want to do. Find fulfillment. No offense, ladies, the whole feminist movement, that's their mantra. They want to find fulfillment. And they're right, but fulfillment to a Jew is to do the Ratzon Hashem. And a man has this problem too, obviously. And the mindset that you learn this chavis halvavus and you say it to a person, an American, it sounds like it's impossible. It sounds weird. It sounds like he's crazy frum. It sounds like he's not in the real world. Because he's saying that the whole life is to match up with Ratzon Hashem, not to be free. Avodayim. Okay.